Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1. I asked Wednesday night, I said, how many of y'all have ever heard of Adonai Bezek? And only a few people did. Only a few folks raised their hand. How many in this room ever heard of Adonai Bezek? Raise your hand. Just a few. Just a few. Judges chapter 1, you'll find Adonai Bezek. And it's an unusual story, very unusual. And when you're reading your Bible, you find there's a lot of unusual stuff in the Word of God. And here Joshua had just passed away, and Joshua's going on, and Joshua was the leader. He was second under Moses, and then he ends up being the number one man, and he passed off the scene. God doesn't have a replacement for him. When it comes to over the whole nation. God had leaders of their tribes, of their home tribes, and God gave that. And the reason why, I mean, these guys were getting ready to go, and they went into the promised land under Joshua, but they were supposed to take land that God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were supposed to take the land back, and the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Hivites, and all these other ites were there in the land. And the only way they were going to give up that land, they had to fight for it. And they had to go in and fight for that property that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God told Abraham back in Genesis, he said, wherever your feet touches the ground is going to be yours. And that Israel right now, Israel does not have all the land that God gave to Israel or to Abraham. Israel doesn't have all the land. You say, what about the Gaza Strip? The Gaza Strip was Israel's. Now, Palestinians claim it's theirs. That's why the war's been going on. There's been 48 battles over Jerusalem alone. 48 battles. There's no city in history that anybody ever fought over that much. 48 battles over one city. And so when you read the Bible, you read through there and you'll find all these battles going on, all these fights and wars, and you'll find cruelty of man. You'll find a bunch of stuff that goes on, and you'll find, that all the way through there, man, in war is terrible things. But God did some fighting for them. God, one time, brought hailstones out of the sky and wiped out people. I mean, he allowed the stones of the Jericho wall to fall down and them to go in. And it was a battle. The battle was a physical battle. And see, if you read in your Bible, you understand there's a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are not the same. And the kingdom of God is within you, according to Luke chapter 17. The kingdom of God is in you. You carry the kingdom of God. If you're saved, you got the kingdom of God inside you. And that's what you're supposed to be spreading the kingdom. And by opening your mouth and telling people about Jesus Christ and let your light so shine before men, they might see the good works, your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's what you're supposed to be doing, spreading the kingdom of God. A lot of people think they're spreading the kingdom of God by just whatever, just coming to church. But you've got to open your mouth outside. You got to open your mouth outside when you go to work. And plus, you got to open your mouth. You can't be sitting in a bar, sitting there drinking a beer and trying to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. That ain't going to work. I can tell you that right now. You say, how do you know? I did it when I first got saved. And it doesn't work. People call you a hypocrite, which you are. It's a hypocrite. And so when you read your Bible, you'll find all these wars. Joshua was a great man of war, and Joshua won every battle he fought. He won every battle. Wouldn't that be something, as here in the New Testament, we find, when we go over in the New Testament, every battle we're in, mostly, as a Christian, is a spiritual battle. So we're fighting this spiritual battle. And you and I mean, have you won any spiritual battles in your life? Have you got any victories? Joshua won physical battles, and he won spiritual battles. And Joshua was a man that loved God, and God put him in charge after Moses. And boy, I tell you what greater man could take over for Moses than Joshua? But Joshua got discouraged. He got discouraged at one time or another. But here in the book of Judges, you find 13 judges over 315 years. That's why if you read your Bible in 1 Samuel, they said, we want a king like everybody else. We're tired of this. We want a king. Give us a king. God already had in mind David, but they said, give us a king before, 40 years before, and they wanted a king before, and God said, okay, take Saul. Take Saul. He represented basically the flesh. David was a man after God's own heart. He represented a spiritual man. And David messed up too at times. You mess up, I mess up, people mess up. But David represented a spiritual man. But in the book of Judges, you'll find these tribes getting together saying, okay, God gave us this land, let's go get it. And Joshua even told them, he said, when are y'all going to go in and take the land that God gave you? When are you going to do it? When are you going to go up? We'll go up with you. And they wouldn't do it. But then you come across this passage here, and war, like I said, is something else. After the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up against the Canaanites first to fight against them? The Canaanites were in they were the occupiers of the land, and they go to the Lord and they said, God, what should we do? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I will deliver the land into his hand. And Judah said unto Simeon, his brother, come up with me and into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites. Now, if you read back in there in your Bible, you'll find that Judah had, 100 or 200,000 men ready to go to war. I mean, Simeon had hundreds of thousands of men to go to war. He said, you go with us and we'll go with you and we'll fight together. So Israel, when they were in full swing, it was over 1 million men, in battle. I mean, 1 million men that could go to battle. And the women, they stood with their husbands. They stood with them. But they all have one purpose. They have one purpose. You say, what's the purpose of this church? That we should have one purpose. There should be one purpose for this church. Seeing our loved ones, our family, our neighbors, like I said Wednesday night, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. We got missionaries on the field. We're supporting missionaries. We just had a missionary come back. But look at this. Look, it says, Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. And they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. You're talking about, brother, that is a battle. 10,000 men died. And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and that they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. I mean, they caught this guy, and he was a king. And they, what made me think about preaching on this, Kaylee sent me a message, said the right hand offended, he cut it off. I was with a table saw, and I told you the song, I fought the saw and the saw won. But that table saw, I looked away and boom, it cut my finger. It cut my thumb right down the middle. But that's what made me think about that thumb. And about Adonai Bezek, it says, when they caught him, they cut off his thumbs and they cut off his great toes. And they had a reason behind that. And Adonai Bezek, this guy knew enough of what was going on. He said, he realized that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Adonai Bezek was a king. He was a king. And this guy realized that he was going to reap what he'd sown. He had, when they cut his thumbs off and his toes, his great toes, he realized he was reaping what he sowed. And, the old saying is, I don't care who you are. I don't care what your background is. You're still going to reap what you sow. Now, we use that in a bad term when we say you're going to reap what you sow. But you also reap good things if you sow good things. Amen. You'll reap them. Well, thank God, man, on this side of Calvary, I got more years serving Jesus Christ, almost double of the years serving Jesus Christ. Actually, it's more than double years serving Jesus Christ than I had before I was saved. I was sowing a lot of wickedness before I was saved, and I reaped some wickedness. And I went to jail and all kinds of stuff for it. But then now, this side of Calvary, and since I've been saved, I've been reaping some good things, man. I mean, I've been, trying to live for God and doing what's right. And praising God and all those things, and I'm reaping good things now. I mean, we've had some problems. We went through some trials. We went through heartaches, but we're reaping some good things. I know the Bible says you reap what you sow. And so here Adonai Bezek gets caught by Judah and Simeon, and look what Adonai Bezek says in verse 7. He says, Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings have their thumbs and their great toes cut off. Gather their meat under my table, as I have done, so God have requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. What a statement that it just gives you, just about this guy, Adonai Bezek. This guy goes out, and he conquers the land around him, and he takes 70 kings and cuts off their toes, great toes, and cuts off their great thumb, or their thumbs, cuts them off. And he said, now this Israel's done this to me because they heard about what he did. They requite him as the same thing. They did the same thing. And you say, man, you say, why did he keep them around? Why did Adonai-Zibzak keep them around? They were his trophies. They were his trophies. These kings that he had sitting there before him at the table, he looked at them and think, I whipped him, 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 and I whipped him. He kept those guys as trophies around so he could show his people, look what we've done, look what I've done. And he said, when Israel caught up with him and the battles took place and he was running for his life, they caught him and they had knew what he had done and they did the same thing to him. And then they take him to Jerusalem and there he dies. I'm telling you, folks, this thing, man, has got some application to it you wouldn't believe. I mean, he's looking at this thing and he's saying, oh, I got me my trophies here. I got all these guys. I'm just rejoicing that I did to them. And then I get requited and get repaid by Israel what they did to me. And so, I mean, I want to liken this guy and this thing to the devil and what the devil would like to do. The devil would like to have you as a trophy. The Bible says, you said, why do you know, preacher? Because the Bible tells us now are we kings and priests on our God. You sitting here, you might not look like a king. You might not look like a priest in that sense, like the Old Testament. But to God, he says, now I've saved you. You're one of my kings. You're one of my priests. But I'm not going to cut your toes off, and I'm not going to cut your thumbs off. I'm going to give you an opportunity. You notice it said he had 70. You know what Jesus Christ did? He sent 70 disciples out by twos, and he said, go out, heal the sick, raise the dead. I mean, he told his disciples, go out and do all these things. And he said, wherever you go, he said, man, you prepare the way. So when I come, it'll be ready to hear the word of God. Jesus Christ does something different. He takes 70 men. He doesn't cut off their toes, doesn't cut off their thumbs. He sends them out to preach the word of God and to prepare the people for the word of God. And then Moses had 70 elders. He had 70 elders in the Old Testament that judged the people. 70. 70, what a number. And then when the Bible says, God says to Israel, he said, you wouldn't let the land rest. He said, there's going to be 70 years of you're going into captivity in Babylon. They went 70 years into Babylon for 70 years captivity. Why? Because they wouldn't obey God. You find that word, that number 70. Why did that guy have 70? Was there 70 kings around him? For sure. He cut off their thumbs. He cut off their toes. And he had his trophies and he kept them there and rejoiced over them. Now I want you to take your Bible. Look with me to 2 Timothy. Look in 2 Timothy. Look over. We're going to do some turning here this morning. Now I'm going to liken this to the devil, what the devil would like to do to you. You're a king. You're a priest on our God. And you're supposed to be serving God. And this guy, the devil would like to take you captive. He would love to take you captive. He would love to catch you and, man, cut off your toes, your great toes. And you say, why would he do that? Why would he cut off your thumbs? Why would he do all that? I'll show you why. The reason why he cut off the thumb, he said, why? The guy could never hold a sword against him again. If you don't have a thumb, you can't hold a sword, right, folks? If you know what the sword is? The word of God. The word of God. If you don't have a thumb, you'll never win a battle. You'll never be able to hold a sword against anybody because as soon as they hit it, that sword will come out of your hand if you don't have a thumb there to hold it. I mean, the Word of God is our New Testament, our way of fighting, the Word of God. And if you're not in the Word of God, you're just like thumbless, toeless. You can't fight. You know what the devil will do? He'll keep you around as a trophy. He'll mock God with you in your life. He'll make fun of you in front of at his table and said, look at here, boys. Look what I got. I got this as a preacher's son. This is a Christian woman's son that loved God. Look what I got, boys. Look what I got. They can't hold a sword against me. They can't come against me. Look what the Bible says. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look what it says. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at the last verse. Look, it says in verse 26. And they that may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You say, what is that talking about? If you read the chapter, look at verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul's writing to Timothy. He's saying, be strong, son. He said, man, hold the fort. I mean, man, keep the sword sharp. Keep everything ready to go because we're in a battle. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. We're in a battle today. We're in a battle. We're in a battle trying to get people back in church. We're trying to in a battle trying to get people saved, trying to get people going for God again. I mean, trying to get them stirred up about and excited about the things of God. Why? Man, we're in a battle. We're in a battle. Look what it says. And it says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou the faithful man, who shall be able to teach others also. You know what? You teach a soldier, you teach a soldier how to fight. You know what? Most Christians today are conscience objectors. What they say, it's like Bill Clinton. I'll just go to Canada. I'll go somewhere else. I won't have to stand on my own. I'll just not live for God. I'll not be a soldier for Jesus Christ. Why? And then the devil come along and have you as his trophy. You know, there's Christians sitting at home probably watching this right now. You know what you are? All you are is a trophy for the devil. That's all you are. I mean, he's done cut your toes off. He's done cut your thumbs off. Why? Because you can't hold the sword against him. Every time you pick up the word of God, every time you try to go for God, you get knocked down. Or you may say, sit down, boy. You can't do nothing. You can't do nothing for God. And Paul's telling Timothy, he said, man, he said, they that are recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who have taken captive by him at his will. But then Paul's telling Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, no man that warreth. No, look what it says. We're in a war, folks. We're in a spiritual warfare. Old Testament, it was a physical battle. Now we're in a battle that you can't see your enemy. You can't see him. He's invisible. He's coming at you. He works in your mind. He works in your heart. He works in your children. He works in your wife. He works in your husband. He works all around you trying to get you distracted, trying to take you captive. You'll sit around and you'll listen to it. You'll listen to that stuff. You'll watch TV. You'll watch stuff that ain't going to help you one bit. You'll just take you further down. Or you'll follow whatever the world says or whatever the world wants you to do. You'll just follow that mess. And you'll be going down, down, down. You'll be sitting at the table, man, wishing to God you'd had your thumbs back. Wishing to God you had your toes back. I mean, I know some preachers right now I'm with the Bible school with. They're not serving God anymore. Why? They got de-thumbed. They got their toes cut off. They got their big toes. They can't do anything for God anymore. They won't do anything for God. But Paul's telling Timothy, he said, man, they can get recovered. They can get recovered if they want to. Back in the Old Testament, man, there was no recovery. There was no, surgeons around to reattach the toes or reattach the thumbs or get you going again. And I'm going to tell you something. Dr. Jesus knows how to fix things for you, amen. A spiritual doctor. He knows how to fix and how to repair that thumb. Brother Squiggy hurt a thumb the other day. And the doctor said to him, he said, what are you and your pastor in competition? He messed up his thumb. I messed up mine. But I tell you what, thank God, Brother Squiggy and I, we're going to keep on serving God, amen. We're going to keep on going on. He says, no man that warreth and tickle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. If a man strive also for the mastery, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. And so it tells you on down. It says, verse 12, if we suffer, we shall reign with him. And if we deny him, he will deny us. And I mean, Paul's telling Timothy, man, keep on fighting. Be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I mean, don't deny him. Don't deny Jesus Christ. Don't turn your back on him. I mean, just fight on. Don't be a trophy for the devil sitting around and doing nothing for God. I mean, the devil's looking for trophies. The Bible tells us that the devil walketh about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I mean, he wants to devour people. He wants to devour especially those that are saved. I mean, it's a feather in his hat if he can get somebody that's saved that was on fire one time for God. And I've seen it thousands of times around here. We've had hundreds of people saved, and I've seen hundreds and hundreds of people turn their back on God. They lose their ability to grip the sword. They lose their ability to be able to grip the sword of the Word of God. I mean, what the devil wants to do to you, he wants to take your sword out of your hand. He wants to take that thing away from you. You know why? Because the Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. Amen. We're living in it. We're living in perilous times. Brother, you don't think so? Something wrong with you. You got your head stuck in the sand or you're watching too many TV shows. Now look what the Bible says. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, I this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, parents, unthankful, unholy. You know, there's Christians in there. And it says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors. We got a bunch of traitors. Traitors in the ministry. Traitors who don't believe the word of God anymore. Traitors Are you a traitor sitting at home? You're watching it online. You say, I'm not a traitor. Well, if you ain't serving God, you are. Man, you read about when the Continental Army went to battle, there was American soldiers, American men that was on the English side fighting against this country, fighting against their own country. We got Christians fighting against their own, the Word of God, and standing against the Word of God. The Bible says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Why? Why turn away from them? Because they'll rub off on you. They'll get you down to that table. They'll get you down at Adonai Bezek's table. You'll be a trophy. That's all you'll be. You'll sit at the table. You might have food in your belly. You might have all the things that you might need of. But I'll tell you what, you ain't going to never lift up a sword against that Adonai Bezek. You'll never be anything for God. From this sort are they that creep into houses, leading captive silly women, women laden with sin, led away of divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to knowledge of truth. Look on down what it says in verse 10. For thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life and purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, affliction, which came unto me in Antioch, and Iconium, and Lystra, with what persecution I endured. But out of all them, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Then he goes on down. He says, evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue down things that thou hast learned and hast assured of, knowing that of whom thou hast learned them, and of that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. And it goes on to all scriptures given by inspiration of God. It's profitable. It's for doctrine, for reproof, so on. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You can't hold that sword if you can't hold the word of God. If your thumbs are cut off, spiritual thumbs are cut off. Every time you go to try to swing that thing, it gets knocked back out of your hand. The devil will take you captive. You'll be a trophy. I mean, that's why Adonai Bezek said, I'm going to cut the thumbs off. That way I'll assure that they'll never hold a sword against me again. They'll never fight with me again. Adonai Bezek, he wasn't no dummy. He wasn't no stupid man. The devil, I'm going to tell you something, the devil ain't stupid either. The devil's wiser, the Bible says, than Daniel. He's wise. He knows. He knows what it takes to get you. If you've been on fire for God, he knows how to get you. He's been watching you. He knows. He knows your every move. He knows what you're doing. You say, well, the devil take attention to me. If you're trying to live for God, he will. That's why a lot of people quit. They say, well, I'm tired of fighting the devil. I'm tired of fighting the world. I'm tired of fighting the flesh. I'm just going to let it go. You know what you'll be? You'll get your thumbs cut off. You'll get them cut off for sure. I mean, boy, I tell you what, the devil's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I mean, the devil conned David in numbering the people. I mean, you think about what the Bible says about when God said, who will go down and deceive old Ahab? And the devil stepped, you know, the one that came up and said, I'll do it. He can deceive. He can lie and cheat. And the Bible says he was a murderer. And you say, what's going to happen to the devil? Well, we know in the Bible, in Isaiah, what's going to happen to him. He's going to get cast out. Yeah. And the Revelation talks about he gets cast down. Well, I thank God I'm on the winning side. You know what? I want to keep my sword, brother, sisters. I want to keep my thumbs. I want to be able to hold on to it, hold my sword. I want to keep on going for God. I want to keep slinging that thing. I want to keep, but see, when you sling the word of God, it always cuts you. And most Christians don't want to, they want to cut everybody else, but they don't want to cut themselves. They want everybody else to get cut up. Yeah, let me cut him up. Let me cut him up. But then they, you know, when it comes down to themselves, the word of God is a two-edged sword. It cuts. Amen. I dropped my sword. That's the wrong thing. You don't want to drop your sword. Adonai Bezek says, man, I'm getting what I deserve. I'm getting what I deserve. You know, I was sitting around thinking about all, I could name names. I could name names that people used to be in this church. They used to live for God. What happened was, somebody came along and cut them off. Somebody came along and cut off. They're not reading the Word of God no more. I had one preacher tell me one time, I said, he had 20 years before I had him come here and preach. I asked him, I said, is your son saved? He said, I don't know. He said, I haven't been preaching for 20 years. Now, this has been maybe 10 years ago. And he said, I haven't preached for 20 years. And I said, how old is your boy? He said, 21. I said, is he saved? He said, I don't know. He said, he told me when he called, when he went home from here, he said, my wife kept saying, all they are a bunch of hypocrites. All them people in church are hypocrites. And I said, you tell them that, she's probably right, but she's a hypocrite too. She's saved just like I am. She's saved. She went to Bible school just like I did. I said, she's a hypocrite too. I said, but I'll tell you what, God still uses hypocrites. As long as you ain't too hypocritical. You know what happens? You know what happens to a guy if he don't know how to hold his sword? He don't teach his children how to handle themselves. You know what our job is? The Bible says train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. You know what we lack? We lack teaching our children how to hold a sword, keeping their thumbs on their hand. We lack doing that. We lack in loving and letting our kids see us sling a sword, the word of God. I'm talking spiritually now. We lack those things. We lack our children seeing us how to pray and learning how to pray. Whenever we'll have lunch at the house today, and every time we have lunch, all my kids, everybody can tell you, when all the grandkids are coming up, Papa, can I pray? Can I pray first? I pray first. And I don't go, you kids just shut up. You don't pray. I always say, you go first, you second, you third, you fourth. We have to sometimes stand there for a good long time. You say, well, does that bother you? No, man. You know what they're doing? They're learning. They're learning how to hold a sword. They're learning how to pray. We lack. We lack when it comes to those things. There's spiritual things that we ought to be training our children. We think making money is the most important thing. No, it ain't. Thank God if God's allowed you to make some money, God allowed you to save some money, and you got a nice car, you got a nice house, you got all them things. Thank God for that. But what about teaching your children? What about passing the fight down to your children? Let them learn how to fight. That's why so many kids are getting out of Bible-believing churches. They're leaving. They're leaving. But I tell you this, it doesn't work. I know a guy that did this all the time to his kids, going like this all the time in their face. That don't work. I'm going to tell you that right now. Nope. You know, you live by example. Yep. You live by example. You live for God. You say, wow, those kids are cussing. Are you cussing? Those kids are drinking. Are you doing it? Yep. I mean, are you living like hell? And you expect them to do right? Yep. You expect them to say, hey, you don't do as I do, you do as I say. No, that don't work.
Amen.
That don't work. You live by example.
Yeah.
Not the ability to be able to hold the sword. When's the last time you picked up the sword? See, without my thumb, it's hard to hold my Bible. When's the last time you picked it up? When the last time you let it cut you? He said, I got 70. God's requiting me. God's punishing me. I know that. Why, if you know judgment's coming, I do something about that.
Yes, sir. Amen.
If you know, man, you say, well, I come too far now to change. No, you can change.
Yeah.
Jesus, or Paul was telling Timothy, he said, you might recover them. Recover them.
Yep. Yep.
God's in the recovery business.
Yep. Amen.
God wants to recover some Christians this morning. He wants to recover. You can recover. So Josh called my house the other day, and he said, told Mama to look up something. He said, where they have some kind of powder to help your thumb grow back. I said, man. Put some powder on there, and boop, and thumb comes back. He said it works, right? Does it work?
I got a friend that his dad did it.
Thumb, you know what? Y'all praying, my thumb's coming back.
Amen.
It cut a big old piece out of it, but it's coming back. But every day I still get my sword out. Every day I get my sword out. I let the sword cut me. As I read it.
Amen.
When's the last time you picked up the sword? When's the last time you let it cut you? Piercing, dividing. See, God knows your thoughts. I'm talking spiritually now.
Yeah.
God knows your thoughts.
Yeah.
Our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. I ride down the road sometime. I say, Lord, ain't I stupid? I'm stupid, Lord, the way I think. God, help my thinking. You know, take your Bible, look in 2 Corinthians. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at this. Look what the Bible says. Oh, don't I be Zach. He said, I'm going to make sure these guys never, ever come against me again. I'm going to make sure. My wife and I got saved. I told you all know my story. I didn't know how to read, but I wanted to know how to use that sword. I wanted to learn. I still want to learn. I'm learning. There ain't nobody that is complete expert that knows everything. But you know what? When a guy handles a sword and he spends more time with it, he gets things, he'd be able to do things with that sword that nobody else can do. He'll get moves. Unbelievable. Look what the Bible says. It says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. See, he's saying, Old Testament they did. War was after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly. He said, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Like I said, the devil wants to keep you as a trophy. He get a hold of your imaginations. Get a hold of your head, your thoughts. He'll get a hold of your thoughts. He'll get a hold of what you think. Do you know that's why people commit suicide? Because their thoughts, thought life. Their thought life gets all messed up. They start thinking, well, I deserve better. Nobody's treating me right. Nobody loves me. Thought life gets messed up.
That's right.
If all you can think about is yourself, all you can think about is what I want and what I deserve and what I'm going to get. You know what? The Salvation Army motto was others. You know what Jesus Christ said? Others. If you start serving God, holding the sword, I'm going to tell you something. Things will be so much peaceable in your head, in your mind. Look what else it says. For the weapons of our warfare. We got a battle. It's a fight. It's going on. Whether you recognize it or not, there's a fight going on. Casting down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So if you're not reading your Bible, you don't pick up your sword every day and reading your Bible. You say, well, I read a verse. That ain't good enough. Just reading the verse ain't going to get you through. It's like saying, okay, I'm going to eat a peanut today, and that's it. And if all you eat is a peanut every day, you'll die. You know what happened to a lot of Christians? Their thumbs cut off. They died. Toes cut off. They're captive. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down stronghold, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's why I just read a thing yesterday. Somebody posted. I don't know where the girl was from. 22-year-old girl, 20, beautiful girl, beautiful girl. Just had her second child, 4 months old. She was clean for 6 months, 8 months. I don't know if the girl was saved or not. If she wasn't saved, God have mercy. She had 2 children. And her mother posted, so I hope this never happens to another mother has to go through this. The girl got a hold of some heroin, overdosed, and died. Taken captive at his will. The devil can take you captive if you let him. You know what you do? If you can't hold a sword, see, what you do is, the Bible tells you to put on the whole armor of God. When you got a sword in your hand, you can keep the devil all out there. He won't be right here. You got your sword, reading your Bible, you keep him off. Resist the devil. Draw nigh to God. Resist the devil. Christian, when's the last time you held your sword? Look at this. Casting in imagination every high thing to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And bring into captivity. There's that captivity. Rather than you being captive, Rather than you being a trophy, you can take some old rebellion in you, make that captive. You can take that and make it say, you ain't having your way no more. You ain't going to ruin my life. Cut the head off. Old J.J. the boss and street outlaws, he says, cut the head off. You cut a snake's head off. You cut the head off that's fighting against you. You can't do it without a sword. Bring it into captivity. Say, no, you ain't ruining my life. I'll tell you something else why Adonai Bezek, what he did. Take your Bible, look in Ephesians 6. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. So why did he cut the toes off? The great toes. You know why he cut them toes off? If you don't have your big toe, you can't have no balance in running. You won't be able to run and resist the devil. The Bible says flee temptation. You brought in captivity. Folks, I can tell you how many times I've been tempted. So have you. But you know what Joseph did? When Joseph was in the house in Genesis chapter 37, Potiphar's wife came to him and said, lie with me. Come on. Come on. Master ain't home. Come on. Lie with me. Nobody's going to know. You know what? And the Bible says Joseph was in the house taking care of his business. I don't know what you can say while he was in the bathroom or he was working in the house. It says she caught his clothes and said, lie with me. And he took off running. Before I was saved, I was always trying to mess with women, all that stuff. After I got saved, I started running from it. Why? Because I knew the devil was real. He wanted to ruin my life. I told my wife and I, we was 19 years old, we said, we're going to get married. She was my girlfriend from the time I was 14. But I was running around like a wild dog. She was faithful. And I said, we're going to get married. We're going to do what's right. We're going to raise our kids for God. We're not going to be a captive. I've seen a lot of kids grow up in that church. Their lives are messed up. They're sitting at Adonai Bezek's table. They're sitting at the table. They can't do nothing. They can't even resist. Look what the Bible says. Look in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know ye that they that run in the race run all? You're supposed to be running the race that God set before you. He says, but one receiveth the prize, so run ye that ye may obtain. The Lord wants you to have a prize, a crown. The devil wants to steal your crown. If you ain't got no great toe, you can't run. Anytime temptation comes, you'll fall right into the snare. You'll fall right into a trap. Trophy. You know what? We go out and they kill deer and mount their heads on a wall. Devil have you mounted. You know what they did to Saul and his sons? When they came up on the group at Gilboa, they came there and they said, oh, that's Saul. That's his boys. They cut their heads off and went and mounted it in their temple of their God. You know how many Christians I've seen get their heads cut, mounted? They're trophies for the world, the flesh, and the devil. God have mercy, man. I don't want it to happen to you. You don't want it to happen to me. I started praying for my kids and my grandkids. I said, God, don't let my kids be trophies of the devil. Don't let my grandkids be trophies of the devil. It'd be a terrible thing. They refer back, their grandfather was a preacher. Look at him now. When Josh went to jail that time, Samson called me up as I was dropping him off at the prison. And as he was walking into the prison, Samson rang the phone and said, Daddy, will you pray for me? I'm getting ready to preach to 1,500 people. He goes, what are you doing, Daddy? I said, I'm watching your brother walk into prison. We both cried. The devil almost got him. He wants to get your children. He wants to get your grandkids. The Bible says, run the race that's set before you. Every man that strive for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. I know what I'm running. I know what my job is. I'm running my race. Are you running yours? Or are you sitting at the table? See, I wish I could. A lot of Christians sitting at home right now. They've been cut off. Thumbs cut off. Toes cut off. Used to be on fire for God. Used to run for the Lord. You don't do it no more. You can blame everybody you want to blame. You can say, so-and-so did it. So-and-so did it. It's like Eve in the garden. So-and-so did it. The devil made me do it. And all that. And you surrendered. You allowed it. You became captive. Now you're his trophy. What are you going to do about it, Christian? Look what Paul said, verse 27. I keep under my body and bring it in subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You start telling somebody about Jesus Christ and say, hey, man, I got saved. And the devil says, shut up. You ain't living for God. You ain't doing nothing for God. Shut up. And boy, he'll shut your mouth right quick. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. We'll close with this. Ephesians 6. That's why, see, this thing is not a game. It's not something we just do. This is our life. If you're saved, it's your life as a Christian. Whether you're a truck driver, whether you're a banker, whether you're whatever you are, it's our life. For we wrestle not, verse 12, against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Just remember, he wants to take you captive. And when he takes you captive, he'll make you his trophy. He'll cut off your thumbs, cut off your spiritual big toes. You'll never run, never hold a sword. You'll keep your mouth shut. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against spiritual wickedness, high places. Wherefore, take on you the whole armor of God. God's already said, if you'll do this, if you'll put on the armor, and you read that whole thing, he says, having your loins girded about the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. You know what a Christian does? A Christian has all this equipment. The Lord says, you stand with me. You stand for me. You keep your sword sharp. Put your helmet on. Put your breastplate on. And you know what? And you're on your knees. You won't be taken captive. No way. No way. You'll be tempted. You'll be in a battle. You'll be in a fight. You'll know you've been in a fight. But he's not going to have you at his table. You're not going to be his trophy. Jesus sent out the 70. He said, you'll be able to raise the dead, heal the sick, all that stuff. Victory. A Christian that puts on the whole armor of God is always going to have victory. You might lose a battle here or there.
Yep.
But the war, you'll win it. You know what? He says, run the race. I'm running my race. I plan on finishing. I want to get to the end of the line, the finish line, with my thumbs and my great toes. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you, God, for your mercy and grace. My Father, I pray, God, now you bless my brothers and sisters this morning. Those watching by live stream, I pray help them, Lord. Lord, help them to pray. Help them to seek your face. Lord, there's a big plan. We don't see the big plan. And God, you've seen it, and you wrote it in your word. You try to prepare us. You try to keep us from getting captive and caught as trophies. And you said that the devil can take people at his will because they're just as trophies. Oh, God, I pray help my brothers and sisters. Help Faith Baptist Church. Never give up. Never let up. Help us always have our sword sharp, our helmet on, the breastplate of righteousness. My Father, help us to have these things, this equipment that you've given us to be a good soldier. The children of Israel called up Adonai Bezek, and he said, God's requited me of what I've done. And Lord, we as Christians are going to face the judgment seat, the judgment seat of Christ. And God, that's going to be a scary point for us. I'm not worried about going to hell. I'm not going to go to hell. But having you look me in the eyes and saying, boy, why were you giving up? Why'd you quit? The devil took you captive. Oh, God, rescue my brothers and sisters this morning. That Father, if they're captive this morning, whoever they are, where they're at, Lord, help them, Lord, rescue them. God, you're the great physician. You can help them to hold that sword again. God, you can help them to run that race again. Oh, God, help, oh, God, this morning. Use the message for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You need to come. Let's all stand this morning. You need to come while they play. You need to come. Make up your mind, man.